the name of the Lord. God, we praise you. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Beautiful Spirit of the Lord here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 In the name of the Lord. Praise our God. Amen. Beautiful Spirit of the Lord here today. Amen. Awesome that you're here with us. Amen. Very, very thankful. Amen. The Gonzalez's all the way up from Houston. Brother Gonzalez used to attend here. He said he got a cowgirl. Amen. So he married a cowgirl. So we're glad he brought her. Amen. Back up to meet and greet and worship with us. We're very thankful that you're here. Amen. Joshua is here and had his birthday celebration. He's actually turning 30 next week. Amen. So we had a wonderful day yesterday. I wanted to get out. There's a song that talks about, Ed Rector wrote about old friends. And I wanted to pull it out, plug in a speaker, and play old friends outside. We had a little party back in our backyard. And his friends, his long-term friends, amen, came up to celebrate. And this is just a couple of them. There are several others that came. And I'm very, very thankful for his friends, because I know what my friends mean to me, and I graduated with my friends from Bible College in 1981 for my wife and 1982 for me, and we still get together, and we have the friendship that you guys, y'all are just young whippersnappers in your friendship. You need to keep working for about 20 more years so you can really have that friendship. Amen. But I'm thankful for his friends that are here and worshiping with us. It's awesome to be part of the kingdom of God. It is awesome to be part of the kingdom of God. I would share with you one thing. For our young people, go to camp. Go to rallies. Make friends. If you feel like it, go to Bible school. Amen. You can make lifelong friends. Joshua and these guys, not their girlfriends or wives, but these guys, amen, he texts and they call and talk. And technology is just amazing. Amen. You can maintain close friendships from many miles away. And I'm very thankful for all of these guys and what they mean and their families and the wives they chose and the beautiful ladies that they're married to or marrying. Amen. And it's awesome to have them with us for this weekend. And I didn't want to put pressure on Joshua, but I wanted him to speak to us today. And you may remember him, if you remember him from here. He was just a young man and lanky and fun, loving, and he's developed into quite a young man of God. And I'm very thankful and very proud of my son Joshua and his lovely wife. And they've given us the most beautiful grandbaby in the world. Amen. Along with my other beautiful grandbabies who are now highly offended at me. Amen. But all of my grandkids are awesome. Right, Brother Cook? All 11 of yours I know are awesome. Amen. He just mentioned that earlier. So Joshua, amen, come and preach to us. We're very thankful that you're here. Happy birthday, by the way. Amen. Love you very much.
Amen. Can we just give that up to the Lord right now to start this service? Amen. Could you just raise your hands and lift your voice? Come on. There was a sweet presence of the Lord that was in this place. And I believe that this is a church that's mature enough to experience waves after waves of the Holy Ghost. So would you just raise your hands right now, and let's just take a moment and seek after the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I pray right now, Lord, that we submit this entire thing to you right now. Lord, our schedules, our words, our prayers. And I pray, Lord, that you would take control, Lord, that you would move in and work in a mighty way today. Come on, if you're thankful for what God is about to do in this service, one more time, would you clap your hands? Amen. Amen. First, I would like to say what an absolute honor and privilege it is to be here with all of you amazing people of Elkhart Life, my extended family and my literal family. I miss you all so very much. There's some of you that may not recognize me, and I may not recognize you, but you are a part of my family if you are a part of this church, and I love you very much, even though we may not have met yet. So, I'm so thankful to be here. And if it's a surprise to you, I promise it was a surprise to me that I'm here today. Wednesday, I went home from work. I walked in the door, and my wife surprised me by telling me we were leaving for Indiana at 5:30 in the morning. And my initial thought was, who passed away? She told me it was for my birthday. And I was like, we're driving to Indiana tomorrow. And I got really scared by having to drive all the way here. Then she told me, and this was the greatest part of that surprise, is that we were flying to Indiana. So I'm thankful for that surprise that my wife came up with. And then Thursday morning, we flew in and to Chicago, spent the day there with my parents, and had probably the best time that I've ever had in Chicago. I've had a lot of fun memories and things like that, but we just had an amazing day together in Chicago. Then the rest of the weekend, my wife and my parents coordinated an absolutely amazing surprise my dad has already told about, but last night, my closest friends from all over the surrounding states and further came, and we got to spend the evening together in laughter, which is a present that is greater than any physical or any monetary gift that I could ever receive. One of my absolute favorite quotes, I know I'm going to let you be seated here in a moment, but one of my absolute favorite quotes is from Walt Whitman, and it says this, that I deserve my enemies, but I don't deserve my friends. And that is something that resounds with me, because I am absolutely beyond blessed that I have friends that would give the most precious commodity, their time, and drive all the way to Elkhart just to spend what was only a few hours with me for my birthday. Some of them have stayed over this morning, so we are all actually lucky to have some amazing people here with us. Andrew and Holly Shirley, and then Al Shirley and his soon-to-be wife, Abby, who is a tremendous golfer, we learned. A historic varsity golf career in Mattoon, Illinois. There's legends told of her scorecards being close to negatives all the way, every hole, like two under. It's amazing. But I'm so glad that I get to spend just a few more hours today with them. And I want to say again publicly, I've said privately, but I really can't say it enough, to thank you to my wife for planning this and my parents for helping to plan this weekend. The best birthday. I mean, there was a birthday whenever I was three. We went to Disney World. But I think this may top it, if I'm 100% honest. This may be better than Disney. I'm joking. It's 100% better. No one laughed, and I was trying to be funny. And it just made me seem mean, and I'm not trying to be mean. This was better, I promise. But I want to give honor to my father, who is the pastor of this church, for allowing me to stand here behind the sacred desk. I never want to take lightly an opportunity to speak of the goodness of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles with you today, would you turn with me to the gospel account of Luke? The gospel meaning the good news being Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? Amen. Amen. But we are going to the 19th chapter
of the Gospel of Luke, and we are going to be starting on the very first verse of this chapter, Luke 19, verse 1. And if you're there in your Bibles, or if you can read it on the screen behind me, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. That sounded like everybody. It says in Luke chapter 19, verse number 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Verse 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Amen. Say, that would be nice. Turn to your neighbor and say, that would be nice. Amen. It would be nice to be rich. Verse 3, it says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little in stature. Verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for Jesus was to pass that way. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. He said, Zacchaeus, come quickly, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste. He came down and received him joyfully. Verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come unto this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek, everybody say, to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And I believe that the Lord has given me a word for somebody today. And I want to speak to you all under the unction of the Holy Ghost, under the title of Heavily Sought After. And before we pray one more time, I just would like to say openly that you are not here by accident today. God has ordained this day for you. He has ordered your thoughts. He has ordered your steps that you may enter into this house today. Amen. Before we go any further, can we just close our eyes one more time and reach our hands towards heaven and pray for the remainder of this service in Jesus' name. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would use me as a vessel, Lord, for your word to flow in and flow through. Lord, let your word go forward today, not on deaf ears, but Lord, let it fall upon open hearts. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would enter into the remainder of this service, Lord, and you would move on our behalf. Lord, let your will be done, God, Lord, in our hearts and in our minds and in your people today. In Jesus' name, would you clap your hands unto him one more time? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. As I prepared for this service today, and as I thought about those words, heavily sought for or heavily sought after, I began to imagine a collector of some kind meticulously looking for the item that would complete their collection. See, I myself am a collector of a few and admittedly random things. See, I like to collect old newspapers with interesting headlines, or I have some of these that reflect days of great tragedy, and I have some that mark days of great celebration. I also collect old life magazines from the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, or the 60s. These magazines, they are giant. For I don't know the reason, but they are giant. And I think they're just so awesome. The pictures that grace the front of that magazine are amazing. And I just find it interesting to flip through and read these old newspapers, read these old life magazines. And so I have over a dozen of these, a dozen or so of these old magazines and newspapers, some of them in frames, some of them not just in a box or a pile in the closet of our bedroom. But what happens is when I'm in an antique mall is that if I see a stack or if I see a pile of magazines or old newspapers, I have to make my way over and inspect each one so meticulously. I have to search through the stacks. I have to search through piles to see if there is anything that I myself need to add to my own collection. But it's not just antique malls, but I'm very much a Goodwill or thrift store seeker. Is there any Goodwill seekers? Is there any Goodwill goons, we'll call ourselves today? Any thrift store junkies? There we go. We're not alone. And let me just say that where I live now, where we are now living in North Carolina, we are blessed with the Goodwills. I feel like there's a Goodwill on every third street corner. And I get to, I'll take a lunch one day and I'll think about the restaurant that's over by the Goodwill in that part of town, just so I can eat my food real quick and run in, peruse the bookshelves, whatever I need to do. But let me tell you, whenever we lived in Maryland, we were cursed by Goodwill. There was not one within 45 minutes of us. It was a nightmare, a true tragedy. I'm thankful for your prayers. It was about 45 minutes that we would be graced by a Goodwill. But that Goodwill there shared a parking lot with a Popeye's chicken. And can I tell you what a great Saturday looks like? Is Popeye's chicken tendies and a little bit of Goodwill. Can I get an amen? But you see, as I go through a Goodwill, I will look at every single t-shirt. I will search through the bookshelves, reading every title, trying to find something to add to our already overly stuffed bookshelves. I will look through the bizarre, the unique, and the random paintings and artworks that Goodwill has. Not even because I want them. I don't want to put a nail hole or a screw hole in drywall ever again. I'm not good at it. But I will look through those paintings just in case there's something there. I want to be the one who sought to find it. And my wife will tell you that I am a bit of a beast when it comes to Goodwills, when it comes to thrifting. She will tell you, oh, you need to go with Josh. He always finds something when we go thrifting. And she'll say, I can never really just find anything. My wife will say, I can never really find anything. And I know exactly why that is. And it's because she enters into the store. She will walk down the aisles, looking over the racks, never stopping to slide back in there. Get your hands in there. And she'll work her way around the store at about 2.5 minutes and then come and stand by me and go, are we done? Are you ready to go yet? And I never am. But where I, on the other side, on the other hand, am almost to the point of investing in some yellow kitchen gloves to protect my hands from the digging that's going on whenever I'm in Goodwill, because sometimes there's a weird residue on those hangers. Amen. Anybody know about that weird residue? You pick something up and why is it sticky? I don't know, but it's there. But I am there heavily searching. See, I am there heavily seeking something. Amen. But as we begin to take a closer look at this famous interaction in Scripture between Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, and what the Bible describes as a wee little man. See, I find it important to begin to point out of the location that this occurred and the time of this occurrence. See, in the first verse of this title passage of Scripture, the first verse of chapter 19, we see that Jesus is entering and Jesus is passing through the city of Jericho. And he is on his way to Jerusalem, which will later be notoriously be called the triumphant entry. But we see that before his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem, Jesus has a different entry into the city of Jericho. What could be considered the sole reason, or what would be the sole purpose of his visit, the one reason for passing through Jericho, but to enter the heart of one single man. See, which this entrance seems to have even a more lasting effect or lasting results than his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. But as Jesus passes through the city of Jericho, which has also been nicknamed the City of Palms, we are now introduced to the second character of this story. But who is this man? Who is this Zacchaeus? Who is this man that they call Zacchaeus? Well, the Bible tells us very simply that he is the chief among the publicans, or in other words, that he was a tax collector, and possibly even being the head of the tax department for either a section or possibly even the entire city of Jericho. And the Bible tells us that he was rich. But how, I ask, could a tax collector become rich? He could become rich through the act and the process of tax farming, meaning that he would overcharge Jewish people and their taxes, maybe somewhere to double, if not triple, the amount owed, and kept the profit for himself. Everybody say, that dirty dog. Amen, that dirty dog Zacchaeus. But the Bible gives another description of Zacchaeus, saying that this man was little in his stature. He was a small man. And from what we just learned, we see that he is small both in his stature and he is small in his character. But there is some things that we need to understand about this small Zacchaeus that the Bible does not say. See, this small man was named Zacchaeus, and if you were looking to the meaning of this name, you would see that his name actually means righteous one. His name means pure, which I guess would be ironic because this man is in fact a public sinner. This is a man who is known for his wrongdoings. He is a man that is resented by everyone who knows him because of his thievery. He is hated by his neighbors who he has wronged. There is no doubt that he is demonized by anyone who would know him. He is overlooked. He is considered to be a traitor to his people. He is an outsider. He is an outcast. He is alone. And he is forsaken. This is Zacchaeus. But what we see is that as Jesus enters into this city of Jericho, as word begins to move, as word begins to spread, as word begins to fly, that Jesus is here. See, this is the word is spreading that the one who is doing all the miracles, the one who is doing all the amazing works, the one who we've heard so many stories about, the one that has healed so many, the one who has opened blind eyes, that same Jesus is here in this city. So word begins to spread and the crowds begin to form around Jesus. And as the masses undoubtedly begin to form around Jesus, as he was moving through the city streets of the city of Jericho, as word begins to spread and Zacchaeus hears the words, hears the news that Jesus is there, what did Zacchaeus do next? He begins to seek Jesus. The Bible says that he sought to see Jesus, that he sought to see Jesus, that he sought after him, because he had heard the stories. He has maybe even seen some of the people that Jesus has healed. Maybe Zacchaeus even heard that Jesus accepted people who were exactly like him. But now it was a chance. Now it was a chance. Now it was a time. Now was an opportunity where he could see Jesus with his own eyes. Hallelujah. See, where he was going to be able to verify for himself that Jesus is exactly everything that he's been hearing about. Amen. And can I speak to somebody today that maybe this is your first time in a church, or maybe you've been born into this, but maybe you've been hearing about what's been going on in a church that believes that Jesus Christ is still alive. But maybe you've been hearing, maybe you heard that this church is one that still believes and preaches that Jesus is alive, that believes and preaches that the same miracles that happened back in the Bible are the same miracles that can happen in the church today, that believes and preaches Jesus is alive. Maybe you haven't heard that, but maybe you know somebody that comes to this church and you can just tell that there is something different about them, that they don't act and react to chaos the way that everybody else does. Or maybe you know someone that's here and you've seen a difference since they've started coming here, that since that person has been in a service where the presence of the Lord is and liberty begins to take place and addictions start to break, where people who used to be drug addicts and used to be alcoholics, but they are no longer bound by drugs and their addictions were broken, where people who were once bound by depression now walk around covered in the spirit of joy, and where people who were once atheists who now have a faith that's strong in a God that created it all and is still alive. If you believe that now, would you clap your hands? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you that whatever it is that you heard about, or whatever it is that you thought it was that got you in this room today, let me say that like Zacchaeus, you can experience it for yourself. You can have an interaction. You can have an experience with Jesus Christ for yourself. You don't have to hear about it anymore, but you are entering into a room where the Spirit of the Lord can enter in. See, we've already felt it in our worship. We've already felt it in our praise, but God's not done moving. God's not done moving. You can experience exactly what you need for Jesus. You don't have to be alone anymore. You are not forsaken. Jesus is here. Oh, I wish someone's faith would arise. Oh, Jesus. You can experience it. You can experience it. You can experience it for yourself. Hallelujah. Oh, you can seek after him today. Oh, you can experience him today. You can experience what it feels like to be set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can experience what it feels like to be set free. Oh, you can be set free from your guilt today. Oh, you can be set free from your shame today. You can be set free from the weights and the burdens and the cares of this world. Oh, so what Zacchaeus did was he sought to see Jesus. But why he did it is because he wanted to see if everything he heard before was true. Amen. And let me tell you this. Church, let me tell you this, that it is all true. Oh, everything you heard about Jesus is true. Everything that you ever heard about Jesus is true. Everything that you've heard about Jesus is true. And I wonder, I wonder if there's anybody that's had an experience for themselves that would raise their hands right now. And let's just praise them for a second. If you've not had it for yourself, I want you to look around. See, this is what it is. The word began to spread. What happened right before in chapter 18 is Jesus healed the blind man that cried out, and that crowd formed, and the word began to spread. Oh, I heard, I saw. It could happen for them. And what happened is he made up in his mind that I'm going to see it for myself. Oh Jesus, hallelujah, we can experience him for ourselves. So what he did was he sought to see Jesus, but why he did it is because he needed to know for himself. And how he did it was he tried and tried to work his way through those crowds. He tried to worm his way between the people, trying to make his way to where he could just catch a glimpse of Jesus. But to no avail was he able to get through the crowds. To no avail was he able to see through the leg openings. So he looks ahead and he sees a tree. See, a sycamore tree is symbolic of transformation. So he sees in the distance a transformational moment. See, he sees this sycamore tree, and what he begins to do, he ran to it. And he began to climb. See, this outcast risked further embarrassment by climbing this tree just to get a single glimpse of Jesus. So, he didn't mind the embarrassment. He didn't even mind being laughed at. He didn't mind being the fool. He just wanted to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As Jesus entered into that city in chapter 18, he healed the blind man. And I believe that the crowds began to form, but the Bible talks about the crowds. They were in amazement at the miracle of Jesus. They were in amazement at the miracle that Jesus just performed. But and I hope I'm not jumping too far ahead. But after Zacchaeus' repentance and his transformation, what does that crowd do? They begin to murmur. They begin to murmur that Jesus would be with that person, with that Zacchaeus. They begin to murmur. And what we need to understand and what we need to realize is that the crowd is not what we base our decisions on. But whenever we have something, I'm not worried about what it looks like to you. I'm not worried about what it looks like to the person in this pew. But I'm going to make up in my mind. I'm going to get a glimpse. I'm going to have an experience with Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't care what it looks like, God. I just want to be with you. Oh, I don't care what it looks like. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, he didn't mind the embarrassment. He didn't mind being laughed at. He just wanted to experience Jesus. And as he climbed, as Zacchaeus climbed and began to work his way into a position where he could see. And as he finally inched his way out on a limb where he could see Jesus, the Bible says in verse number 5 that Jesus came to the place. Listen, I need you to understand, I am not a theologian. I don't even know if I could spell the word. But as I studied this, and even as I read commentaries searching for someone to give me a factual statement on this, I couldn't find it. But as the Bible says that when Jesus came to the place, it feels to me that Jesus was walking to that exact spot where he would stop in his tracks. That as he was navigating his way around the city, as Jesus was navigating his way through the masses, that he was making his way to that exact place, to that exact spot where Jesus would stop and he would look up and Jesus saw him. And he called out his name. How amazing is it that he knew? He knew who Zacchaeus was. And can you imagine the tone of which Jesus called the name Zacchaeus? The loving and the caring tone of which he would call the name Zacchaeus. This is probably being the first time since Zacchaeus was a child, the first time since his childhood, that someone spoke to him, spoke his name, not in disdain. The first time he didn't just overhear his name being spoken behind his back as he passed by. There goes that traitor Zacchaeus. No, but in love, he called the name Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come here quickly. Zacchaeus, come quickly. Because I want to spend time with you. He's saying, I want a relationship with you. See, we need to understand that to every other person in the city of Jericho, to every other person that knew who Zacchaeus was, he was lost. To everyone else but Jesus. See, Zacchaeus thought that day that he was seeking Jesus, but in fact, it was Jesus that was seeking Zacchaeus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the transformative interaction between Jesus and Zacchaeus. We need to understand that in that moment after he met with Jesus, he may have still had some struggles. He may have still had some problems. He may have still needed to work on some things. Not every habit may have been broken in that moment, but there was a clear change of heart in Zacchaeus. Oh, he said, God, if I've done any wrong, Lord, if I've done it unjustly, let me give it back fourfold. This was a repentative moment in Zacchaeus. There was a clear change of heart. Amen. And let me tell you that we have an opportunity. Amen. If you would stand to your feet right now. We have an opportunity and we have a choice. Will we overcome the adversity of getting to Jesus? Or will we allow it to pass us by? You have the choice right now. I'm going to open the altar. If you need something from Jesus, all it takes is coming down to this altar, raising your hands, and God will meet you exactly where you are. You have been searching for something. You have been seeking for something that would heal the pain, that would cover the pain, that would still those feelings of loneliness. Whatever it would be, you've been searching for something. And let me tell you, it's here in the altar. Jesus is in this altar. And this is not just another Sunday, but God has been moving and inching and coming to a place where he can meet you. And there could be a transformative action, a transformative work done in your life. If you have a need, if you've been searching, if you've been hurting, if you've been broken, if you feel lost, forsaken, I want to invite you into this altar. Jesus is here. He's waiting on you. He's been looking for you. He's been searching for you, making his way to a place. But will you overcome the adversity to get there? The looks, the thoughts. Are you willing to make your way to him? I'm going to open this altar up right now, please. If you feel led to do so, would you make your way here?